Welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy. She's the infidel your imam warned you about, and there's no holding her back as she shares her opinions, insights, information, and outrage discussing the political entity known as Islam. We are at a critical juncture in our history, and if the threat of Islam is not faced up front, right now, then we will lose the freedoms of individuality, civic justice, and autonomy of thought we rightly enjoy, and instead see our values replaced with kinetic and civilizational jihad, Sharia law, and oppression permanently. Don't let the memory of our soldiers, past and present, go in vain. It is up to us to protect the legacy for which they fought so hard. We have an obligation to honor their memory today and for future generations. Join Kel Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern and Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. But leave your political correctness well away from her phone lines and chat room. And be warned, Kel takes no prisoners.
GoDamnMedia.com.
In doing anything we can to survive.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your hosts, Tim Burton and Kel Fritzy. And what you heard there was a rather unusual opening for the Friday show, and that was Afghans rioting over the proposal that Dr. Terry Jones was going to burn the Quran. And see, he didn't do it. Nothing happened. And they still rioted anyway. And I want to say hello to Tim. Hi, Tim. How are you tonight?
Good evening, Kel. I'm very well, thank you, and it's a pleasure to join you on the Friday evening. I'm not normally here, as I'm sure your listeners are aware, but I understand we're hoping to get Dr. Terry Jones on the show tonight, and like you, I'm very much looking forward to talking to him. Hoping we're going to get him on the show, because I know we've got a possible issue with the phone call to get him here, but not to worry.
It would appear his line is down or something, and so what we're going to do is that we're going to try a bit in a few moments. But the premise of the show tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is that Dr. Terry Jones, as you know, is the Florida pastor, and he was the one who initiated Let's Burn a Koran Day. He was arrested September 11th in 2013 while trying to burn the so-called Muslim holy book near Mulberry in Florida. And, well, they took him to task. They charged him. And he rejected the state's plea to deal for a 6-month probation in exchange for dropping the felony charge against him. What Dr. Jones said is, we'll just take the case to trial. They should have been held accountable for the illegal arrest for targeting us anyway. And Dr. Jones, who is 62, and Wayne Sapp, who is 45, his associate pastor at the Dove World Outreach Ministries in Brendantown, were arrested while driving through Mulberry transporting a cooker containing Koran soaked in kerosene. Now, they had planned to burn this evil green book at a nearby county park in memory of the victims of the 2001 terrorist attacks on the United States, and, of course, we know that is 9/11. Both men were charged with unlawful transport of fuel, which is a felony. Jones was also arrested for openly carrying a firearm, and authorities charged Sapp with driving an unregistered vehicle because the rented trailer did not have a current tag. Now, prosecutors had offered to drop the felony charges against both men if they would plead guilty to the misdemeanor in exchange for 6 months probation. During that probation, which would include the upcoming September 11th, they would be prohibited from returning to Polk County. Now, Assistant State Attorney Brad Copley said Friday, the state had withdrawn that plea offer. I also need to announce on the record that all offers are now revoked by the state. This is what he said during Friday's hearing. There is no plea offer in effect and will not be. Jones said Friday that he and Sapp reviewed the state's evidence in the case, including videos, with their lawyers and decided to take it to trial. And this is what they have done. We've never been really totally comfortable with admitting any form of guilt in the situation, he said, but we wanted to avoid at all costs a felony charge. But the more we thought about it and looked over all the information in the videos, a couple of things started to anger us. The police weren't there to protect our security or our First Amendment rights. They were clearly just trying to find something. They had their cameras focused on us. We will go to trial, and we will strongly feel there's no way we will be convicted on the charges, he said. If Jones and Sapp are convicted of the felony, they could face up to 5 years in prison. Now, Circuit Judge Roger Alcott scheduled a pretrial hearing in the case for Tuesday, and this is from May 16th. But what we're going to do, Tim, is we're going to see if we can get Pastor Jones to join us now, see if his phone line has cleared up.
Okay.
It would appear that his lines are down because he sent me an email less than an hour from the show saying that he was excited about being here. So something's going on there, Tim.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. We can try again later on in the show. I think that with what you've read out for our listeners, I mean, I'm thinking they've probably got a pretty good sense of what it is that Dr. Terry Jones is up against. I mean, quite honestly, I'm appalled. It's the first time that I've heard in detail exactly what has happened. A lot of our listeners will probably know the story of his original arrest and the fact that he had planned on burning, I think it was 2,997 Qurans, if I got that figure right, on 9/11 last year. And, of course, not wanting to upset Muslim sensitivities, because as we all know, Muslim sensitivities is one of those things that has to be protected at all costs. The authorities stepped in and arrested him on what was essentially a bogus charge of transporting fuel illegally and driving a van with an unregistered trailer. I mean, you know, ridiculous charges, really. It looks as though they're going to try their luck with taking him to trial. I mean, I hope it rather backfires on them. I don't know about you, Cal, but I think that there should be no way that he's convicted on a charge, a felony charge, for doing something to express outrage about the events of 9/11, and expressing them in a very, very strong way, which would hopefully send a message to the Muslim world. And why shouldn't the Muslim world have a strong message sent to them? All this pussyfooting around that we do, and all the attempts that we make to avoid inflaming Muslim sensitivities, it's like dealing with two-year-old children who are having a tantrum, and trying to go out of your way to appease them instead of treating them in the way they should be treated, which is to put them in a corner and tell them that they can't rejoin civilized society until they learn how to behave. And I think that Dr. Jones is to be commended for his actions, not to be slapped with a felony charge. And I don't know what you think about that, Kel, but that's how it seems to me.
Well, Tim, I think that you're the definitely the expert on that that one.
Well, it's not quite the same thing as the kind of things I've had to put up with. Just briefly, in case there's any of our listeners out there who are unsure of what Kel's referring to, I've recently had a little brush with the law myself, not quite on the same sort of scale. I had a run-in with the law after calling a prominent Muslim activist over here in the UK a mendacious grievance-mongering taqiyya artist, which he was, of course. And he was offended about that, and he got his friends in the police to have me arrested, and he got his friends in the Crown Prosecution Service to have me charged. Fortunately, it all came to nothing. I was in court last month on the 8th of April, and I was acquitted. So even now, Kel, I can hear the wailing and gnashing of teeth of old Fizzy Bollocks as he fumes down in his office in London, wondering what to do next. But there we go. That's the story.
Well, it's very interesting that every time we bring up the issue of Islam, it's all of a sudden it's taken to litigation. That's I don't understand the protectionism that they're afforded. The United States, a bastion, I thought, that would not pursue this, but they are pursuing it. And Dr. Terry Jones is just the latest victim.
Well, yes, indeed. And I'm sure he won't be the last, because the authorities don't seem to be learning at all from the fact that when you have two-year-olds who are throwing a tantrum, the thing to do is to put them in a corner. What the authorities are doing, metaphorically speaking, and it's as true over here as it is over there, is that they are appeasing these two-year-olds. And of course, two-year-olds, when they're appeased in this fashion, just carry on and get worse and worse and worse and take more and more liberties and eventually make life unbearable for everybody. And I think that's rather an apt analogy, because most people that I know, and I'm sure you're the same, Kel, are sick and tired of these equivalent two-year-olds throwing their tantrums left, right and centre every time that they don't get whatever it is they want.
Well, this is what, they're crybabies, and this is exactly what we can expect, that we can expect from them. And I'm just on in the Gmail, seeing if I can get Dr. Jones to join us. But
this is what I admire about Kel, ladies and gentlemen. She's absolutely super at multitasking. Not only can she hold up her end of the conversation on a radio show, she can work the Gmail as well. Now, if I were to do that, my computer would disappear in a puff of smoke, because multitasking is not my strong point. But is there anything I can do to help Kel while that's going on?
Do you have
to sing a dance? I'm sorry, Kel, was that...
Do you have a top hat and canes?
Well,
I'm just crazy about Sally.
I do have a pet rabbit. I mean, you know, I can sort of, we can do somersaults. I can bring him on and show him to the listeners. How about that? pay no attention, ladies and gentlemen. We're just having a little light-hearted moment here. While we're waiting to see if we can get hold of Dr. Jones, is there a topic from earlier on today that you'd perhaps like me to expand on, Kel? Because I'm happy to touch on a couple of topics if there's something that you particularly wanted to bring up on the show while we're waiting
for Dr.
Jones. Well,
actually, you know what? It's amazing. You know what? It's amazing that you ask, because there is something here that crossed my desk earlier today, and this is actually out of the United States. And I've got something's beeping in my ear on my other line. And
okay, well, I'll tell you what. I'm just for the fun of it, I'm going to drop this link into the into the. Yeah, I'll carry on. Don't you worry, Kel. I'm going off topic here, ladies and gentlemen. I've got a link that I'm going to drop into the chat room for you. It concerns something that we were talking about on a radio show earlier tonight, and it's just a little essay that I penned in response to my good friend Fiaz Magal, who wrote on a blog of his own how unhappy he was about the verdict in the Birmingham Taqiya trial, which is what it became known when I won my case back in April. He wasn't at all happy about that, and he took to his blog to write and complain about everybody and everything. Nothing is ever Fiaz Magal's fault, of course, ladies and gentlemen. If he has a problem, if it isn't to do with the sneaky Zionists or those pesky infidels, then whatever it is, it's definitely nothing to do with him. So I penned a response to that particular blog entry, and the response is on the link that I'm dropping in the chat room now. So there we go. I don't recommend you necessarily read it all now. I'm only mentioning it so that anybody who hasn't had a chance to see it can take a look at it in due course. But the point I wanted to make was that he's so full of himself, Mr. McGall, he just cannot learn from events. And one would have thought that a little bit of self-reflection and self-criticism would have been appropriate. But oh no, not for old fizzy bollocks, as I like to call him. He's blaming everybody and everything for things that were entirely within his control. And he's chosen to go down a route which is, I fear, going to only end up in more trials and tribulations for him. So I've just dropped that into the chat room, Kel. I see Agador is with us. Okay. What you've got, Dr. Jones? Is that or what?
No.
Oh, all right. I was going to say the I see Agador is in the chat room, and he's saying, "Oh no, Tim's going off." So that's obviously a signal to you, Kel, to comment on that particular link that I put in the chat room, if you'd like to, or I can find something else to expand on there.
Oh no, I love it. This you're going to get yourself in a whole lot of hot water with this guy if you keep this up. But it's brilliant. I love this article, Pisking Fizzy Bollocks. And he deserves it. This guy has got to be taken to task for what he has done to you and me and Jeff and everybody else who is involved in the counter-jihadist movement. He has really affected your personal life, in that your computer, your cell phone, everything was confiscated. You still don't have that material back. He has interfered with your writing career and your radio career, and so this guy has a lot to answer to. So I think in writing this, it's a work of art, and I really hope that somebody is able to send it off to him.
Yes,
because this guy,
I think that
this guy has no conscience. What he did is inexcusable, and he was caught to be lying. He was caught out. He was pulled to the mat for it, and you commented on it. And he just thought you were some sort of hapless, Twitter meister. He did not realize exactly with whom he was dealing. I know he's regretting it now. I like it that you are continuing to take a run at him, because he is, quite frankly, an A-class asshole.
Yes, indeed. And if he hadn't taken the trouble to have a go at me on his blog, I might just have been magnanimous in victory with the court case and let it go. He's not only having a go at me, he's having a go at the whole of the counter-jihad movement. And we don't have to take it, and we're not going to take it, Kel. And so I feel entirely justified in writing the article, and entirely justified in saying to people that if they want to expand on it and reply to his article, because he's out there, ladies and gentlemen, at fiazmagalblog.blogspot.co.uk. That's listed in the article I put in the chat room. If anybody would like to write to him, be polite, ladies and gentlemen. There's no need to be to be particularly rude anyway. And tell him what you think of him, because he's trying to have a chilling effect on our free speech with what he does. And if anybody out there doesn't actually know what he does, he's the director of an organisation called Tell Mama UK over here in the United Kingdom. And Tell Mama UK supposedly monitors anti-Muslim hate crime. The only problem is, of course, that there isn't enough anti-Muslim hate crime going round. So what Fiaz Magal does, and all the rest of his merry men at Tell Mama UK, is they resort to making the figures up. Well, seems perfectly reasonable to me, ladies and gentlemen, because the more anti-Muslim hate crime there is out there, the more money he can extract from the hapless British taxpayer. And so he does, to the tune of £214,000 in the last financial year for which we have figures. And since the organisation has been going for a little while before that, the total amount of money extracted from the aforesaid hapless British taxpayer is probably close on £1 million, or let's say 1.6 million United States dollars. So it's a lot of money. And when somebody at the head of an organization like that fraudulently manipulates the figures to make them look better than they are in order to keep the taxpayer money going, I think that it's right that they should be taken to task. It does strike me as quite odd that even though the Association of Chief Police Officers and the Department of Communities and Local Government here in the UK both called him out on his figures and stopped his funding, he hasn't actually been prosecuted for fraud at all. And he's still head of that organisation, and he's still looking out for that anti-Muslim hate crime, because, of course, there's nothing worse than people hurting the sensitivities of those poor little Muslims. Never mind what Muslims do around the world every day in the name of Islam, bombing, shooting, rioting, murdering, and generally causing mayhem around the world. 23,000 fatal attacks, ladies and gentlemen, since 9/11, carried out by Muslims in the name of Islam. Oh no, he'd far rather we all ignored that and concentrated instead on anybody who's slightly rude about Muslims, or slightly rude about Islam, or has something bad to say about the Quran, or who indeed has something bad to say about old fizzy bollocks himself. That's far more important and worthy of having the book thrown at somebody rather than concentrating on what Muslims themselves are doing in the name of Islam. So I think that we have every right to take him to task, and if any of you out there would like to write to him with that in mind, then please feel free. He won't necessarily post your comment on his blog. I notice that comments are moderated. So all I can say to you is he will probably see your comments, but he may not post them on his blog. But nevertheless, I think if you wanted the satisfaction of writing to them, it would be 5 minutes well spent out of your busy day. So please feel free to go ahead.
Oh, and also seek him out on Twitter. And what you do is that you be polite. Just say, "Why, hello there, Mr. Magal. I hope you're having a beautiful day. It's a wonderful day where I am. And what the hell is wrong with you?"
What the hell do you think you're doing? Yes, quite so.
Oh, you can do that with Ajima Chowdhury as well. Oh, yeah, I do this like every 3 or 4 days. I go on his Twitter and offer little pleasantries. And at the end I say, "And what the hell is wrong with you?"
Oh, good old Ajima.
But so far my Twitter account has not been suspended. Hi, Tim.
Oh, well, yeah, quite. Now, that's another interesting thing. I did put a comment about that in this article that I popped into the chat room. I see it's scrolled up and gone off the screen, so I'm just gonna pop it in back into the chat room every few moments so people can see it on screen.
An
interesting thing. I've actually got several Twitter accounts, one main account, which is my CatStrangler101 account, and some backup accounts, because occasionally As people who use Twitter will probably know, occasionally an account may get suspended for no particular reason. Twitter has an arcane set of rules, and they tend to move the goalposts every now and again, and you can fall foul of these rules without realizing it quite easily. And what normally happens is your account is maybe out of action for a few days, and then Twitter will reinstate it, and then you can carry on as normal. But if you've got a backup account or two, then worst case, one would hope, one or two of your accounts might be suspended at any one time, but you can still issue tweets if the necessity arises. Well, I had five accounts, ladies and gentlemen, and all of a sudden, over the last couple of days, I've had every one of those accounts suspended. No reason at all from Twitter support. I've written to Twitter support and said, I don't understand why you have suspended these accounts. Perhaps you would be so good as to let me know what the problem is. And they haven't come back to me with any good reason, and they haven't reinstated the account. And the fact that all five of my accounts have been taken down suggests to me that old fizzy bollocks is behind it, because the one common factor is that I've used all these accounts to be slightly sarcastic and caustic to old fizzy bollocks, and I'm sure he doesn't like it in the slightest, and I'm equally sure that he's used his influence unethically, I'm quite sure, in order to get my Twitter accounts suspended. I mean, it's a minor inconvenience, and if my Twitter accounts never come back, well, I can always create some more. It's not a huge, huge problem. But I am interested in whether anybody who's listening to the show tonight may have experienced a similar thing, because I'm just wondering if it's only me, or if it's a clampdown on other members of the counter jihad community. So if anybody does know or has an opinion on that, I'd be very interested to hear from them. Anyway, back to you, Kel.
Absolutely.
How are we doing on the acquisition of Dr. Terry Jones?
We're not. But we do have a caller here, and this is moving.
Okay.
This is Movin.
Hi, Movin.
Hey, Tim, and hey, Kel.
Hey.
And what an awesome topic tonight. You know, I did have a few questions for Pastor Jones, but he's not here, and that's okay. And, you know, for example, you know, I was going to ask, is he, you know, his impetus, is it like free speech, or is it maybe the number of Korans symbolic for the number of churches that have been burned just this year? So maybe those questions will come out later. So awesome topic and awesome guest. But I came in for another reason that I wanted to talk tonight, and that was to follow up on the impetus of the drink called Tequila Sunset. The mixed drink, just to have a little discussion and a little bit of lightheartedness about that. As you know, the name Tequila sounds a lot to folks like drink tequila, and a tequila sunrise is basically tequila, orange juice, and grenadine, or like a cherry drink. That's a tequila sunrise. But a tequila sunset, I wanted to clarify the ingredients, and if anyone disagrees, that's okay. Tequila Sunset is Movin's vision of a drink to celebrate a huge court victory by Tim Burton. Any time that there's a victory against tequila, it's a good idea to celebrate with this drink. So here's the ingredients. It's one part whiskey, preferably cinnamon whiskey like Fireball, or more fitting, evil whiskey, which is cinnamon whiskey made in the States. Fireball's made in Canada. One part coffee, and one part yak milk, and if you don't have that, just a simple creamer. And stir with a baking strip. And that is a Kia Sunset to drink every time you celebrate a victory against Takiyah, and you come up with victory on the truth at Takiyah sunset. So
that's a small, humorous way of clarifying
what a Takiyah sunset is.
And, that's tremendous.
I'm going to have the local bartender keep it as a choice Takiyah sunset. He's promised to put it on the menu without explanation, because we don't want to, you know, that would be haram if, you know, it was explained too much. But it will be on the menu, and when it gets on the menu, the bartender's menu, I will make a copy of that and send it off.
That's absolutely tremendous. Yeah. So that's really good
for you, Tim Burton.
much appreciated, Moving. I did actually... I haven't got my guitar with me tonight, which is a bit of a shame, because not long after the trial was over, I did put together a few alternative words for that famous tune by the Eagles. And you're going to have to excuse me, because my singing voice isn't what it was. You know, my days of being in concert with the three tenors at the Albert Hall are long past. So it went something like this. Just another Takiyah sunrise, just another day of telling lies, telling porky pies. His name was Fiaz Mughal, telling lies for him was A-OK. I tell Mama UK, every night when the sun went down, he will just be another. I haven't got all the words.
Oh my!
Well, you get the idea anyway. That's right. Every night when the sun went down, he'd add up all the hate crimes in town, but there was never enough to go round, so he made them up. It's just another Takiyah sunrise. You get the idea.
Right, and,
so,
and you know, it's not in a mean-spirited way, it's humorous way.
EDL Minx in the chat room says that she wants to sign you up for the X Factor.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, heck, I lost the chat room, so I don't know what's going on in there. But thanks for letting me call in and clarify the drink and for that wonderful song, although my ear is going to be out of joint for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
Y'all take care now.
Oh, thank you, Moving, so very much.
Yes,
we appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Very much.
Take care.
And much appreciated.
You too, Moving. Oh, and I love that. That is so darned funny. And we have somebody else here that might want to contribute to your guitar playing. And actually, Agador has something that he wants to mail to you. And hi, Agador. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you doing?
Yeah,
doing
well, Agador.
Are you both infidelity well?
Oh, yes. Unbelievable.
Well,
infidelity fine.
Yeah.
That's great, guys. Well, you know what, Tim? We were Kel and I were discussing, you know, what we could do for you for your fabulous victory in April. You know, so many things come to mind. You know, but I thought of something that we could really use to, you know, just kind of help you celebrate. You know, in a musical way. So here we go. It's another Takiyah sunrise. Yeah, baby. There you go, Tim. It's skinned up. There are holes in it where there shouldn't be holes, and it's all yours as soon as I can find a shipping company brave enough to send the damn thing.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, that's absolutely wonderful. Because I have a 12-string I have a 12-string guitar here, which I normally play on. But the only problem is that when I play it through the microphone on my PC, it's not tuned to those frequencies. The microphone that I use doesn't give a very good rendition. But I mean, that came across absolutely wonderfully. So I think I'm definitely going to be watching the mail every day until that arrives, because I can see that's going to be a great addition to my musical abilities. That is
excellent. Well, you know, you should do that.
Agador,
because it'll be,
Doc is not happy with you in the chat room. You woke up his dog.
Sorry, Doc. You know, but listen, you know, I mean, I'm going to get better. You know, I'm going to really try hard before I send this thing out to you, Tim. I'm gonna really try hard to learn guitar, and before I'm done, I know I'm gonna learn a chord.
Hey, how about that? Excellent.
There you go. Oh, and then you'll get it. So, yes, watch the mail. You'll see a long, suspicious looking package. Anytime.
Okay. Right, I shall camp out on the front doorstep and await the arrival of the postman with bated breath. So, brilliant. Thank you very much indeed. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, listen, you guys can mute me if you'd like. I did have a little something that I was going to read on the EDL show. About a little happening here in the States. I know it's not Pastor Jones, but I think it's something rather cool. If you'd like, you can mute me, or I can read the thing, whichever you guys would like to do. I'm flexible.
Up to you, Kel.
I think that we would like you to read that.
Okay, I'll read the thing then, shall I? All right. Now this is something that I found on Pamela Geller's website. If you listeners out there, don't visit her website, you should start doing it. Her website is always chocked full of the truth about Islam. And this particular goodie comes from the American Freedom Defense Initiative. And it's an ad campaign that they've got going in New York City, and they want to expand it throughout the rest of the United States. And I am going to copy that and get it pasted right up into the chat room, baby, so you guys can check this out. There it is. And it is a very cool thing they've started to put in the subways, guys, in the subway stations. And it's got a nice thing. This is all about the Council on American Islamic Relations, our buddies, remember? And it's a very nice poster. The top of it says, care leaders convicted of jihad terror-related crimes. Yes.
God, shock.
I know. It's very shocking. I know a lot of people aren't going to believe it, but here it is. Yes. It's got Ghassan, Elashi, Musha, Abu Marzouk, Randali Rober, no, excuse me, Randali Royer, he looks like a dog anyway, and Bassam, Kafagi, and Rabin Haddad. Hey! See, now I read all those fake names, and I almost did a good job. And underneath that, though.
I was just going to say, Tim, here come all those fake names again.
Exactly. And under that, it says the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, claims to be a civil rights group. In fact, it's Hamas in the U.S. And this is a very cool campaign. They're encouraging people all over the United States to put these posters up in their cities. So there it is. I put that in the chat room. And if anyone would like to pursue that in the United States, please do. I think it would be a fabulous, fabulous thing. And I'll turn it back over to you guys.
Oh, thank you, Agador. That is absolutely fantastic. And ladies and gentlemen, do seek out this article for my mine and Tim's listeners. And I'm so used to saying my on Friday nights because, you know, for fuck's sake, it's the F-bomb show. But seek it out. The listeners in the chat room can bookmark that link for later, but I will probably put it on the Infidels Are Watching Facebook page later. So there you go. So thanks, Agador, for that. I appreciate that, and so does Tim. Now, what we're going to do is that we're going to move into new territory because I just lost the co-host. Hey, Agador, you want to hang around?
Sure, sure. Be glad to hang around.
This has been the most wonky show I've done ever since I started, 3 years ago.
Well,
two and a half.
I have to apologize to EDL Minx because I think I scared her cats. I'm very sorry about that. I'm very sorry that I just scared your kitties. I'm sorry about that.
Just to say I'm back. I don't know what happened, but my call dropped and it's just come back again. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, it's okay. It's been a wonderful show so far tonight. Oh boy, Tim. This is one for the blooper reels.
Well, you know, not to worry. I mean, it's Blog Talk Radio. Like I always say, when you get these things that come up on Blog Talk Radio, it's not like you something like BBC Panorama, where they've got dozens of technical people ready to jump on the slightest technical issue whenever it occurs. You know, we're Blog Talk Radio, and things like this will happen from time to time. In fact, more often than not, I have to say. And I think most people appreciate that, and they understand when people drop in and out, or they're not available for interview or things like that. It's just one of those things. But hopefully, Kel, we're professional enough to be able to deal with it and to bring that rabbit out of the hat when necessary.
Well, maybe you are. Well, I think what we should do is have you and Agador play dueling guitars or something.
I don't even think that would be a duel, Kel. I think I think it would be just one shot from Tim and I'd be done.
Ladies and gentlemen, this show is doing something completely different. We're actually sitting around a campfire and we're playing guitars and singing.
Yes. Oh, well, God, that gives me an idea. I'll have to think about this and discuss it with Tim later. That definitely gives me an idea. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's Ramist campfire song. So what do you think, guys?
Yeah, I definitely think that's a good idea. I mean, all I'll need really is a few moments just to think about that, and I'm sure I can come up with something.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it only took me an evening to work out the verses for Dodgy Fatwa, and the all-time classic, the all-time Arabian classic, the one that everybody loves. It's Hard Being a Suicide Bomb Instructor. And it only took me an evening to work those out, so I'm sure we can get some more campfire songs going in no time at all.
Can you imagine if we were at a provincial park, as we call them here in Canada, and there were neighboring campers, and they were listening to us? They would be hiding their kerosene cans.
I think so, yeah, jeez.
Well,
we would have CSIS on us so damn fast, and the RCMP, and in Canada, CSIS is, of course, I don't know. I can't remember the acronym.
That is really strange about you British people and you Commonwealthers. You have an acronym for everything. You know, well, this is Mr. Burton from the CL, you know, JRZX AR. Yes, you know,
Center well, for Intelligence Security. Oh, please, you know what, Moovin, can you pour me one of those drinks?
We're all inside the Beltway, people. Everything is an acronym. And right now, the acronym is SOL.
I can't imagine. SOL.
But we have a caller here, and this is from the Spirit of Freedom, and so let's bring him on and see what he has to say.
Okay.
Hey, Spirit of Freedom, how are you tonight? And welcome to the train wreck call of the Red Fox Blogger Show.
Hello.
Oh,
the Spirit of Freedom, and you can call me the Spirit of Freedom.
Oh, well, there's nothing like a bit of informality. So, Spirit of Freedom, welcome to the show tonight. And
what's the message? Tim Burton.
That's me. You can call me Tim.
Okay, Timmy.
Fine.
Timmy?
Okay.
Hi, Timmy.
Well, I thought only the ladies called you Timmy.
Are you wearing your little shorts?
And my bow tie, I'll have you know.
Okay. I'm sorry, Spirit. I interrupted.
What questions do you have for the Spirit of Freedom before I give you my usual warning?
Well, Spirit, if I had any questions for the Spirit of Freedom, which I'm sure I do, it would go something like this. What, in your opinion, would be the single most effective thing that we could do in our counter-jihad fight right at this moment?
The most effective thing you can do is, after every victory you have against Sharia and Takiya and learning the truth, is to celebrate and do it again.
Well, that sounds like a pretty reasonable course of action. I think, yeah, we'll definitely be following that one up. What about you, Kel? Have you got any questions for the Spirit of Freedom?
Yeah, actually, I do have one. Spirit, I'm wondering, when there are radio hosts at their wits' ends and they're ready to hang themselves up, do you have any antidote for that?
Get along the rope.
Maybe you should imbibe in a tequila sunset beverage.
Hey, that sounds like
I could really go for one of those right now.
Sage advice, sage advice.
I must go. But
Spirit,
my warning, warning is avoid the Sharia.
Ooh, yeah. Excellent.
I think that's
yes.
a good excellent warning. Yes.
Excellent warning. Yeah. Thank you, Spirit.
And never hang up on freedom. Good night.
Good night, Spirit.
Good night, Spirit.
Good
Thank
night,
you
Spirit.
So very much for calling in. and there you go. That was the Spirit of Freedom, and we want to appreciate his calling in very much. And where can I get one of those drinks? you know, a drink for four?
Well, I was just thinking about what we were talking about earlier, about some suitable campfire songs that we could adapt with maybe some Islam-related lyrics. And I just wondered if you had some particular campfire songs in mind, because all I really need is 5 minutes with a pen, and I'll see if I can't adapt them in some way. So have you got any suggestions? Because I'm trying to think of some good fire songs, and nothing is jumping out at me at the moment, but maybe some suggestions there.
Here's a good one, Tim. You know, how about Home on the Range? That's always a nice one.
Okay.
And let me see. Believe it or not, now this can be a campfire song. You know, Michael rowed the boat ashore. That can be a good one. You can adapt that one. And, of course, the old standby, Kumbaya.
Kumbaya.
There's
okay.
three of them right there. Yes. And of course,
you
then there's...
You won't believe what I just Googled.
And then, of course, there's...
Top 10, top 10 Muslim hip-hop lyrics.
Okay.
Okay, what do we got then, Kel?
Yeah.
Oh, what does they have? Well, the artist is Eric B. and Rakim. Their album is Don't Sweat the Technique. Let me see. They have Naz here. The song is called Ghetto Prisoners. you're going to love this one. There's one here by Common and Q-Tip, and the album is called Get on the Bus.
And this is Eric B. Raccoon, did I hear you say?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Go figure. Muslims are into hip hop.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Well, I was thinking rather than having tunes that Muslims themselves have made up. I was just thinking of taking some typical tunes, good old American tunes, something that everybody recognises, and just putting some Islam-related words against it. I mean, the song that I do, which is It's Hard Being a Suicide Bomb Instructor, actually comes from an old English tune by a chap called Mike Harding called Rochdale Cowboy. And all I did was just take the tune and replace the words. And I was thinking of doing something similar with maybe one or two American tunes. But I'm not quite sure what would work and what wouldn't. But that's why I was asking for suggestions. But Home on the Range sounds like it might be a good one. I was thinking of
something a little bit...
Have we got anything that's a little bit more sort of upbeat, a little bit... something with a bit of a beat to it?
Oh, I've got something... I do. I have something right here that you would enjoy. And this is actually from the Wallace Salem Pickett Classic. Sung in the Wahhabi Rhythm and Blues Joint.
The Wahhabi Rhythm and Blues Joint. Well, I bet that's a fun place to spend a Friday evening.
Yeah,
the Wahhabi Rhythm and Blues Joint.
Well, if you want something,
something like this. You'll have to bear with me because I don't know what the tune is because they don't have an audio for it, but I'll do my best.
Oh, that's tremendous
Sally.
That's tremendous.
Guess you better slow your Islam down. Allah, what I said now. Muslim Sally now, baby. Allah, guess you better slow your Islam down. Huh? Oh, yeah. You've been praying all over town now. Oh, I guess I have to pull your black burqa off the ground now. Ha, what I said now. Listen, all you want to do is praise Allah, Sally, Allah, Sally.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing I had in mind. Yeah, that's actually not bad. What about you, Agador? You sounded like you had something to.
Okay, well, I had something a little bit more upbeat and more in the 20th century vein, actually Moving had a great one. Moving had one Wild Thing. That's a pretty nice one. Mine was Reefer Man by Cab Calloway. You could take that and maybe turn it into Hookah Man or something like that, and you could do all sorts of things with Wild Thing. I think that's pretty good.
Okay. All right.
I'm in the mood for a campfire song. Come on, let's stop with the titles and let's actually start singing.
I was going to say,
looky here,
Wild Thing,
I bought you
like,
a brand new
camel,
friend.
King Ganguly, that's what we used to sing around campfires round our way. It was an old scouting refrain, and my goodness, I'm sure. I wish Jeff was here in the online with us because I'm sure he could remember all the words. But it went something like. Gingang gooly, gooly gooly watcha, gingang goo, gingang goo. And then you would repeat that ad infinitum until you got totally fed up and people started throwing logs at you off the campfire. And then, you'd all go back in your tents and go to sleep. I mean, that was the way we used to spend evenings in the good old days when we were scouts. But I dare say it's all different these days.
Oh, and I just want people to know that I didn't know the parody of this song, and Bigfoot just put in the chat room, it's from Mustang Sally, so if you will indulge me, I will sing it properly now, okay? And if you're ready, 3, 2, 1. Mustang Sally, hoo-ha, I guess you better slow, here is laying down. Mustang, Muslim Sally, now baby, guess you better slow, he's lamb down. You've been praying all over town. Ooh, I guess I have to pull your black burqa off the ground. Is what I said. Now listen, all you want to do is praise Allah. Allah, Sally, Allah. All you want to do is praise Allah, Sally, Allah, Allah. Okay, I think everybody's getting the right idea. So let's skip the chorus and let's move into the the latter part of the song. Looky here, I buy you a brand new burqa, a 1964. And now you come around here prostrating, woman, I ain't taking your act no more. Muslim Sally now, baby, guess you better slow that Islam down. Listen, you've been praying all over town. Ow!
That's tremendous, Kel. That is absolutely tremendous. I wish I had a voice like that. What do you think, Agadir?
I wish I had a voice at all. No, Tim.
I think I'm going to save this, and I'm going to practice on this and play it on another show.
There you go. Yeah.
And Bigfoot, thanks.
I've got a list for you here, Tim. Let's see if we can find some. Okay, these are supposedly by the 50 greatest campfire songs of all time. And let's see what we've got that's a little bit more upbeat. House of the Rising Sun, I wouldn't call that upbeat. I'd call that, I want to put my head in the fire and wait until it pops. God, Ain't No Sunshine, that's even worse. Let's see here. Time of Your Life by Green Day. Let's see. Then there's, Blowing in the Wind. Oh, yeah, Blowing in the Wind. That's classic campfire for when you have marijuana. Let's see. There's, really? Okay, there's something called Our House by Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I thought someone else did that one in the 80s.
Funky Cold Medina.
There you go.
Right on, Doc.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. What would be? Funky Cold Medina. Funky Cold Aisha, Tim.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And moving forward has Burka Burka Butt, one of the Burka sisters.
There you go. Yeah. So there's just some stuff to work with. I put that in the chat room, so you can look around in there and see if you can find anything. But
that's actually quite good because all I really need is just a couple of ideas to work with, and I'll have something by the time we get to the next show. I'll have a little something for you. I'm sure I will, even if it's only one tune. But that's brilliant. Thanks for that, Agador. That's wonderful.
If we're going to be singing these funky songs, let's go with this one, and we'll see everybody back here in 3 minutes.
All right.
One, you cover up your face with this veil, Sharia, when you wear your burqa, dear, and people sneer. I wouldn't know if you're a female, Sharia, never gonna stop or give it up. Killing infidels, always got it planned, underhand, give a lot of yell. My Sharia. That's our little girl, Fadah. She bought a bra. We lost a lot of family pride, Sharia. It all should stay a mystery.
in history. Beheading is the honorable way. Sharia's never gonna stop or give it up. Killing infidels always got it planned. Underhand, give a lie, yell, my, whoa! My Sharia. My Sharia. Hours. Take a shower. You got to keep your body all clean. Sharia, you know that it's our destiny. Most decree, infidels will know in good time. Sharia, never gonna stop or give it up. Killing infidels always got it planned. Underhand, give a lie, a yell.
Very much in the Islamic world, and it's an old tune. You remember it well, Tim. I know you remember it well. It goes something like this: dun 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 dun, wild thing. Dun 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 dun. You make my burka swing. Dun dun dun. You make everything groovy, and it's really doing the rounds. And I just wanted to give you the spirit of the thing, and I know you're writing now. Just as soon as I started singing that, you get down and you're writing the words, and you're going to strum along, and there's something new for your repertoire, mate.
Yeah, thanks for that, Jeff. I mean, there'll definitely be something that I'll have in the next day or two.
Well, we're looking forward to it, Tim. But I know I've got a terrible echo, and great show. I lost my internet a quarter of the way into the show, and I only got it back a little while ago, and I hate missing. I was really looking forward to tonight's show as well, but never mind. You always do great, you guys. Tim, Kel, Ag, you're fantastic anyway. So I'm going to call off and wish you well for the rest of the show, and take care, guys. God bless you all.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Yep. See you soon.
Thanks, Jeff. See you soon.
Thanks, Jeff.
You're very, very welcome. Good night, guys. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff. Okay.
Awesome fellow Jeff is.
Oh, he's fantastic. Yeah, he's the absolute best. I'm changing the show description. For obvious reasons.
Well,
you know what? What can a girl do?
we could call this one the Comedy Central show, couldn't we? And
I'm calling it Disaster Center.
We
could. Oh,
well, wait a minute though. You know, you've got you've got the F bomb. So this is the fallout, right?
Oh well, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
F bomb fallout 2014.
F-bomb 2014. Ladies and gentlemen, I implore you. I dragged my co-host, my Monday co-host, literally out of bed to be here because we thought that we had something going on, and it kind of fell through you know, the bed slats, as it were. And poor Tim.
You want to be careful how you mix those metaphors.
I was going to say, you know.
That came out really bad, but no, it's true. Like Tim, he's 5 hours ahead of us here in North America. Normally he would be in bed sleeping, and I asked him, could you be here and help me out with some, you know, I guess that we were supposed to have, and it didn't quite work out, and Tim, I feel terrible.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's it's actually not turning out too bad. I've got some good ideas forming for some Islamic campfire songs later on in the week. So time spent in mocking Islam is never wasted, as far as I'm concerned. And everybody should do more of it when they can, because the devil hates to be mocked, as they say. And I think the more of it that we can do, the better.
I was going to say, isn't that true, Tim? I mean, Christians are, you know, are constantly making fun of their own religion, you know, and Jewish people do the same, you know, we just take it in stride when other people do, you know, even when it's mean-spirited. We may not like it, but, you know, we just go, and we move on. Islamists can't even take a simple cartoon, for God's sake, you know, and they go out in the street in the thousands, and they break things and they hurt people, you know. I mean, if nothing else, I think this shows that Islam is the ideology of no fun, anyone.
I have another theory about that as well. Not that it contradicts yours, but I think that the reason they go out and riot is because subconsciously they know that their ideology is a crock of shit. Subconsciously, they must know it. When they look at what all their compatriots are doing in the name of Islam and causing all this rioting and mayhem, and they're constantly telling themselves and telling other people that it's actually a benign and tolerant religion of peace, that must set up a certain cognitive dissonance in their heads, and it must be very difficult to reconcile all those those differences. And I'm sure what they subconsciously realize, even if they can't come out and admit it to anybody else, is that it's so full of contradictions and so full of errors, it can't possibly be anything like what we would term a serious religion. And I'm sure that that contributes a lot to their mental state. That's my theory.
Well, you know what else I,
you know.
Yeah, and you know what else I think? I think, you know, also secretly, you know, I think you've really touched on it here. You know, this is you know, the inner workings of the minds of really disturbed people, because I think there's another part of them, even the most vociferous ones, that say they hate everything about Western culture. There's part of them that wants to, you know, grab a beer, grab a cigarette, joke about their own religion, and live with a possibility that, yes, they themselves could become middle class or rich and not be stuck in what amounts to a caste-ridden society, that's ruled by an ideology of hate. They look at us, and what they see is, what they have is jealousy. It's deep buried. They would never admit it, because the worst of them know that they would be punished if they did. But I think, yes, there is a lot of envy there for the kind of freedom that we live every day.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good explanation. I'm sure there's a number of factors actually that contribute to it. But that sounds pretty good to me. There's a Danish psychologist by the name of Nikolaj Senels who has a lot to say about the Muslim mindset. And I'm going to have to I'll have to try and find a link and put it in the chat room as I'm talking, unless Kel would like to do it. Nikolai Senels actually wrote a book about his experiences in the Danish criminal justice system, and he had about somewhere between 100 and 200 Muslim clients, and he studied them quite extensively and realized that there were characteristics that were peculiar to those clients that were completely different to those characteristics of non-Muslim clients. And he wrote quite extensively in several blogs, one of which was New English Review. I think he also wrote in Jihad Watch about some of the things that he found, and the way in which the Muslims are brought up. There are certain trigger factors which make them much more unstable and prone to angry outbursts, and that's peculiar to the way that Muslims are brought up. And one of the things that he mentioned was that when it comes to Muslim parents bringing up their children, an environment of extreme for children anyway, extreme violence is quite common in Muslim families. It's quite common for children to be beaten very badly indeed for minor infractions, and certainly when it comes to learning the Quran and so on, which is beaten into children at a very young age. Mm. If they don't do what's expected of them, they can expect a lot in the way of physical punishment, and that has ramifications for when they're a lot older, and it goes a long way to explaining why especially Muslim males, when they get to their teens, they're just so full of anger at everybody and everything, so full of anger at the world, that it doesn't take much to set them off at all. Now I'm going to see if I can find something when I've finished talking to you on this subject, but it makes for very interesting reading, and goes a long way to explaining, in my view, what it is that makes Muslims so different in that respect to ordinary people. But I'll pass the microphone back to Kel now, and I'm going to go and see if I can find a couple of links to drop into the chat room. Kel, over to you.
Hello, everybody.
Let me say this
My name
about
is
that.
Kel. My name is Kel, and I am the proprietor of the Red Fox Blogger. What?
Please shoot me now.
Well, Kel, I have a few thoughts, if you don't mind, about on what Tim said.
Ecuador,
while he looked.
Please.
Okay. Well, it wouldn't surprise me to learn that what this psychologist found was that there is a whole lot of both sociopathy and antisocial, instilled antisocial behavior that goes along with Islam. Now, for those who don't know, sociopathy is a disorder where a person, that manifests itself in a person engaging in criminal or antisocial behavior, but they are extremely manipulative. They bring people over to their side, even as they're abusing them. Now, I think that people in the chat room could possibly find something familiar in that. Maybe CARE, maybe Tell Mama, maybe a lot of these other organizations that are shilling out there for Islam. Oh, well, Islam is the religion of peace, and we just want to love each other and live in peace with other religions and that sort of thing. And while at the same time, some of the most horrific crimes, like that of the murder of Lee Rigby, happened, and of course we had the anniversary of that yesterday. Now, coincidentally, yesterday, the Obama administration said that al-Qaeda is no longer a credible threat. So you see this contradiction here. but getting back to Islam and the psychology of it. It would not surprise me to learn, as I said, that sociopathy and antisocial behavior were not things that were instilled in people. I don't think people are born evil. I think they're born greedy because they want to survive. But you know, good and evil can be taught, and really at its core, Islam as an ideology is evil, and so it doesn't surprise me at all that this psychologist found the things that he did in people who grow up in an Islamic environment. Okay, back over to you guys.
Yeah, I've just found a link from last year, which is article I sent that says, well, it poses the question, which is why does Islam create monsters? And he answers this by talking about pretty much the things that you just asked about, Agador. Nobody's born to be a mass murderer or a violent criminal. And he talks about the factors that influence the Muslim mind and in what ways it's different. He talks about classical brainwashing methods that are used in the upbringing of Muslim children. He talks about enabling psychological factors such as anger, self-confidence, responsibility for oneself, and intolerance. And he talks about how all that combines to produce a psychological problem within Islam, which is why you see these things so common in so many Muslims. It's really quite an interesting article, and I've just dropped it in the chat room, and I hope that people will have a chance to look at it, maybe not right now while we're on the show, but certainly over the course of the next day or two, and take a look and see what you think. It's he's a person that ever since I saw his first article, which appeared in New English Review about 3 years ago, he's somebody I've tried to follow quite closely because he does seem to have some very good insights. And in fact, it's notable that when he was working in the as a criminal psychologist in Denmark, he was asked to give a talk at one point on just this subject, and people wanted to know what it was that what insights he learned from his time in the criminal psychology job that he'd had. And he stood up in front of a lot of I suppose liberal-minded people in a Danish audience and started to talk about just these things, and he was greeted with a stunned silence because nobody wanted to hear these things at all. Nobody wanted to hear that there was any kind of problem within Islam. What they wanted to hear was that Muslims were the poor, victimized, oppressed people who were in prison through no fault of their own, and that it was the duty of the Danish people to help these poor victimized people and give them what assistance they can. They didn't want to hear that their problems were actually due to anything to do with Islam, and so what they did was they paid him off, and he actually left the Danish criminal psychology job that he was working in the justice system, and went to work in a different area altogether, so that he could talk freely about his experiences. And he speaks very, very clearly in terms that people can understand. And I certainly recommend, if you haven't been following Nikolai Senels, that you have, if you have the opportunity to do so, just Google some of his work and see what he's got to say. You can also look in the Jihad Watch archives because there's quite a few of his articles in there. And as I say, he's also written in New English Review as well. So, there you go.
This sounds a fascinating character. I know I'm going to be checking him out. It is always good. I think it was Alexander the Great that said, "Know thine enemy." And, it is
What? Yeah, that will be Sun Tzu, I think. I mean, Alexander the Great might well have said that, but I remember that going back a bit further, Sun Tzu is the one that's most frequently quoted.
Okay.
In his Art of War, but yeah, I know what you
right.
mean. You have to know your enemy.
Exactly. Yes. If we're going to combat Islam, and if we're going to educate people about Islam and about the true Islam, we have to be able to warn people when people like CARE, for instance, are out there spreading their taqiyya and being Naruna pimps and things like this. And we have to let people know why people who, you know, you might just consider to be ordinary people would even think about torturing and enslaving and killing people they don't even know, because for normal, well-adjusted people in anywhere in the world, not just in the West, these things are abhorrent. We wouldn't think of doing these things, but it seems that these people have a self-given license to do them. So it is good to understand why. That was something that I wanted to know right after 9/11. What in the hell possessed these people to do this? And I think a lot of people have been asking that question ever since then, and they should have been asking it a long time before that. But that's for another day to talk about. Mm-hmm. It is important to know about these things, because the fight before us is long and hard, and it's going to be fought not only, Tim, by kinetic jihadis with car bombs and with kidnappings. I think you know yourself very well. It's going to be fought with well spoken, very clean and articulate individuals in business suits who get on news programs. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, definitely. In fact, it's one of the things I've noticed about the enemy that we're fighting is that when it comes to public relations, they really are on top of it, and much more than we are, generally speaking. And they have all the contacts in the media, and they know exactly what to say, when to say it. They're also quite well funded, which I suppose that really helps. Whereas we do it because we know it's the right thing to do. But they have a lot of funding behind them, and they can make everything sound extremely plausible if they talk to the right people at the right time in the right medium, and they have access to a lot of networks that we don't, and they can get their voice heard in what seems to be a very plausible way that a lot of people, well-meaning people who don't know much about Islam, if they hear what these people have got to say, the tendency is to, in the absence of other voices which can speak just as loudly about the true nature of Islam, they tend to believe what they're told. A lot of people do that, and it's only human nature. And that's a difficult thing to counter. And that's much more effective in the long term than going around, blowing people up or shooting people or otherwise causing, what a lot of people refer to as the kinetic jihad. Every time something like that happens, all right, we feel a little more apprehensive, but it doesn't have the same effect as somebody coming on the radio and explaining in very clear terms why Islam is a benign and tolerant religion of peace. And if it's just that voice saying those things and there's no countering voice saying, yes, but, what about this, what about that, then people tend to believe what they're told.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. I tend to look at what we call dhimmis, the people that give the Islamists this platform, and do not give, say, our side an equal platform, as being the same as those who enable real life sociopaths. They give them this ability to come en masse and to influence people. While denying our side an equal platform. You see, I'm not Tim, for getting, you know, just telling Islamists, no, you may not speak, but I am for evening the playing field and having people like yourself and others who can articulate the message well out there saying exactly what you're talking about, you know, giving that other side. And right now, as you say, the Islamists are the ones with all the media connections, all the money, and almost all of the opportunity.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're right. If there was a level playing field in that area, and we had equal opportunities to speak and to clarify, and just to openly discuss Islam in the way that we do on these radio shows, then I'm sure we would win a lot more people to our cause. But of course, the atmosphere is such at the moment that if you express a view about Islam that differs from the official line, then you are vilified for it, because the official line concerning Islam is a complete fiction. It's a lie, and yet it has been sold to the general public as something that is true. So when we come along and say, well, this is actually the real case, we're vilified as racists, bigots, Islamophobes, hate mongers, and so on. And yeah, the playing field is not level at the moment, and we have a bit of an uphill struggle against us. But that's not to say that we can't win it, because we do have one advantage, and that is the fact that we are telling the truth, and we can demonstrate that we're telling the truth. And somebody who's in possession of the facts about Islam can hold their own against anybody who comes along to argue. I'm thinking particularly of somebody like Robert Spencer, who is a tremendous debater and very, very knowledgeable. And I've never known Robert Spencer to be caught out ever with what he's saying. In what he's saying or what he's writing, everything that he's ever written, I've read pretty much everything Robert Spencer has written. I've tried to listen to a large number of the interviews that he's given. And I've had the pleasure of speaking to him myself on a couple of occasions. And he is an amazing guy, and insofar as you cannot catch him out. And Muslims know this, which is why they won't debate him. And in fact, I do remember one occasion when he was on a radio show that was being hosted by a Muslim, and he was talking to, I think it might have been on a panel, and there was an imam there. And Robert Spencer was asked a question to which he answered, and the interviewer, who was Muslim, said to this imam, well, can't you refute what Robert Spencer is saying? And this imam said on the radio, live, he says, this is Robert Spencer's specialist field. And the radio interviewer was really taken aback. This was a Muslim radio interviewer. And he said, but you're an imam. He says, well, no, he says, I don't know as much about Islam, in not so many words, but he said, I don't know as much about Islam as Robert Spencer does. And this poor radio interviewer, he was absolutely gobsmacked, as we like to say over here. It really took his breath away. And that was captured, of course, on YouTube or some radio. It went public anyway, it went viral, and that's just an example of how great it is when you've got somebody like Robert Spencer, who's got all the facts at his fingertips, and you put him up in debate with Muslims or Islamic apologists. They cannot refute what he says, because he speaks the truth and he's got the facts to back it up. And so that's all we need, really, is an opportunity to get the truth out there and have some knowledgeable people with the facts at their fingertips, so that the truth can be heard. And, you know, and sadly, there's only a few of us, and there's an awful lot of them. But we are, slowly but surely, I think we are waking people up. It's the nature of the battle that we're fighting, is that we're not going to win it overnight. Sorry, Kel, did you want to come in there?
People are wondering what you and Agador did with me. They think that you've stumped me in a basement because
they
haven't heard my voice.
We keep all the tasty ladies to ourselves, folks. You better believe it. We ain't stupid.
Hi, Middle Earth. How are you tonight?
This is the Smeagol.
Smeagol. It's a long time we've heard from you. Have you got the precious with you? Have you got the precious with you tonight, Smeagol? Or are you still looking for the precious?
Give it to me.
Who's got Smeagol's precious? Have you got Smeagol's precious, Kel? He's not happy. I can tell he hasn't got it.
Well, what has it got in its pockets? That's what I want to know.
The master says, I told you not to talk to him.
Well, you know what, Smeagol, I have one thing to say to you, one thing only. Quit losing that thing in the swamp already, okay? You're constantly diving in that swamp and looking for it.
Good night, Cass.
Yeah, all that stagnant water can't be healthy for you.
No, it's it probably isn't. It stunts your growth, you know, stagnant water. It's not good for you at all.
No, it's not. But, hey, you guys were carrying on a really good discussion. I didn't want to, interrupt you, but I did have some points I wanted to bring up. But there is something we have to do, and that is acknowledge a holiday that our American friends are celebrating, and we are down to the last 20 minutes or so. And ladies and gentlemen, for our American cousins, we wish you nothing more than a beautiful, happy Memorial Day long weekend. Please behave yourselves out there and have fun and acknowledge the holiday and what it means, because Memorial Day, that was originally called Decoration Day, and it was first proclaimed by General John Logan. He was the commander-in-chief of the Grand Army of the Republic Guard on May 5th of 1868, and it was first observed on May 30th of the same year. May 30th was chosen in part because it was not the anniversary of a Civil War battle and because flowers would likely be in bloom all over the United States. General Logan hoped that remembrance of those soldiers who had died during the recently ended Civil War could help bring all Americans back together. On the first observation of Decoration Day, flowers were placed on the graves of all Civil War dead, both Union and Confederate, in Arlington National Cemetery. Placing flowers or flags on other soldiers' graves has been a Memorial Day tradition ever since. In 1873, New York became the first state to officially recognize Decoration Day. Other northern states followed suit so that by 1890, they all recognized the holiday. Some southern states had created their own holidays to remember the Confederate fallen and didn't recognize Decoration Day. After World War I, Decoration Day, which was increasingly being called Memorial Day, became a time to honor all American soldiers who died in service to the people of the United States. With this shift away from the Civil War, southern states began to officially recognize Memorial Day, although some retained and still do their own Civil War remembrance days. Memorial Day became a federal holiday when Congress passed the National Holiday Act of 1971, which also moved the holiday from May 30th to the last Monday in May, ensuring a three-day weekend for federal employees. The National Holiday Act also established the name of the holiday as Memorial Day. The two most common ways in which Memorial Day is observed are parades and placing flowers or flags on the graves of fallen soldiers. In fact, the soldiers of the 3rd U.S. Infantry have, since the date of in the 1950s, they have placed small U.S. flags on over 250,000 graves in Arlington National Cemetery on Thursday before Memorial Day. In May of 2000, President Bill Clinton signed a resolution calling for a national moment of remembrance on Memorial Day. The resolution urges all Americans to pause for 1 minute at 3 p.m. local time on Memorial Day to remember and reflect on the sacrifices made by so many to provide freedom for all. Over the last decade, as more soldiers have given their time, their skills, and their lives overseas, the spirit and meaning of Memorial Day have taken on a greater significance to many Americans. And this is a message to our cousins, and this is coming from you, from Tim and myself, and of course, Agador, who is joining us tonight in the program. And Agador, as an American, you must feel quite prideful that you have such a wonderful holiday.
I do, Kill, I do. You know, I would say to people, before you go out and light up those grills and gather together with your family and friends and just enjoy the wonderful weekend here in a country that, believe it or not, for the most part, is still free, remember the people who gave everything they had to make sure that that you could do all of that in a land where you can still speak and assemble and put something in a blog or in a newspaper or act in your own defense and or arm yourself. These people were sons, fathers, cousins, brothers, uncles, and they were people who were just living ordinary lives until their country called them and said that they needed them. And then they gave everything that they had. And you live free today because at one time they gave everything they had. Back to you, Kel.
And with that, for our American family, this is for you. This is I Am American by Jeremy Dodge, and I want to thank Agador for helping me pick out this song.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
everybody, and you're listening to the Red Fox Blogger, and that was a tribute from Tim and myself to our American cousins. Thank you all so much for joining Tim and myself. It was a bit of a wonky show. I think people thought that I was into the gurgly whirlies, and you know what? I actually wish I was. I would really loved that recipe that Moovin shared with us, because believe me, I could have used about four of those drinks by now, and it would have been yee-haw. But we also want to acknowledge those joining us, and of course Agador is always a mainstay, and he helps me out with a lot of things behind the scenes, and he gets a lot of credit for helping me put the Memorial Day special together for our American cousins, because I won't be taping with Tim until Monday, and Memorial Day is technically on Sunday. So I want to thank you, Agador, not only for your participation in helping with that, but also you and Tim having that wonderful discussion, which I did not want to interrupt, but boy, oh boy, would you two get together. Everybody, sit back and listen, because these guys have a whole lot to say, and they do it fantastically. But we want to thank our sweet Sue from New Mexico, who is joining us in the studio as well. And our love and prayers to you, sweet Sue. And people who joined us in the chat room, we had people pop in, we had people pop out. I want to thank Holger for giving me some editing advice, which I will be engaging in later on tonight. We want to thank Bigfoot, Doc, Dodgy Dave, Edie Elding, and, of course, Moovin Forward, amongst many others that have run off to other shows, but that's what I encourage, because you know it. That's why they call it Archive Listen. You can download the Red Fox Blogger on iTunes, or you can listen right here on Blog Talk Radio whenever you want. That is the beauty of Archive Listen. That is the beauty of podcast. But I really want to thank you, Agador, for being here, and Tim especially. I want to thank you for helping me out by staying up so late tonight to get me
to
this show.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. My pleasure, Kel. No problem at all. And I'm sure we can get Dr. Terry Jones back on, excuse me, another day. So in the meantime, I've got a few ideas lined up for some Islamic campfire songs, you know, so it's by no means a wasted evening. I mean, it was a pleasure talking to both you and Agador, and Moovin as well. Nice to have Moovin call in. And hopefully we'll have another great show next week.
Oh, yeah, we will. Well, you and I, we're going to be back on Monday.
Yes, indeed.
I wonder
yes,
what
indeed.
We're going to tackle.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be no shortage, Kel. I mean, as we all know, Islam is the gift that keeps on giving, and there'll be no shortage of things to talk about. But yes, we'll be certainly back on Monday on Red Fox Radio WOW, and that's at 8 p.m. British Summer Time, which is 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, if I'm not very much mistaken, Kel.
Hey, you know what? Tim, mm-hmm. I'm a much better gift giver than you. I don't give out wonky watches as presents.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the trouble with wonky watches, isn't it? You know, you end up putting the times out all wrong if you've got a wonky watch. So I'll have to see if I can dig up a better watch for you for your birthday next year. But yeah, the
next
the,
year.
Well,
next
all right, this year.
Year.
This year. My apologies, but yeah, the time differences throw everybody.
You're
going to
surpass my birthday this year and Christmas. Oh, gee.
Wow.
I know, Agador. I swear.
Well, I could say typical, but I don't want to be, you know, destroyed by, you know, a laser beam from Canada. You know, I'm well within range, I think.
Oh,
It was a fantastic show all the same. It's somewhat salvageable. We had a lot of fun. I forgot my name a few times, but hey, that's nothing unusual.
Yeah, we got it. We got a good recipe from Move-In for Tequila Sunset, which is excellent, you know. So all sorts of good things came out of that.
And it's my faux pas that I engaged in tonight. I think I gave out the wrong time to Dr. Jones, and I feel really terrible about that.
Oh, well, like I say, it's not like BBC Panorama, and people, you know, are very laid back about the odd things that happen every now and again on Blog Talk Radio. So, you know, it's nothing to worry about, and I'm hoping we'll be able to get a chance to speak to him again sometime in the very near future. As you know, I'm sure he'll be only too happy to come back on the show once. Once he realises what's happened. But it's the kind of thing that happens all the time in Blog Talk Radio. And the time differences don't help either. When you've got the different time zones and that, it's just all too easy to inadvertently give out the wrong time.
And that is true. And it is. You know, like when I first met Tim, I told him to call me at 3 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock my time, and that was 8:00 p.m. And he's like, "What?"
Yeah, it took me a while to fathom out the time differences, and you know, even now I have to think really hard about it.
Oh, hell. I call down the street and say, I'll talk to you in an hour and a half. And like, what? Oh, I'm terrible. And Minx is saving my life in the chat room. She's saying, that's from Daz, by the way, Kel. I'm a bit of a screw-up. But she also has another message, and I really want to share this. And to share with people that we do have a very young friend who is ill, and he went in for a surgery today, and that we are praying for our friend Hayden, and Minx and Daz is they're his mummy and daddy. And so Daz, thank you very much for that message as well, in that we are hoping for a very speedy and full recovery for our dear friend Hayden. Jeff, Agador, guys, we're out of here. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Kel.
Yeah, thank you, Kel. And we thank you, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us tonight. And we'll see you again very soon. Great show, Kel. And I'll speak to you very shortly.
You bet, Tim. And Agador, same with you. Talk to you later, guys.
Take care, folks.
¶¶